Bumblebees are in decline the world over, a sad loss of a lovely little creature and a potentially catastrophic loss to the world food system. Dave Golson has spent the last 20 years investigating why they are declining and what we can do about it. Following in the footsteps of great nature writers, he has written a new book, A Sting in the Tail, which is Golson's record of this search for an answer. Again, the title of the book is A Sting in the Tail, My Adventures with Bumblebees. It is published by Picador, and we welcome Dave Golson to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
What got you interested in this subject in the beginning? Because really, this was kind of a turf battle of bringing a creature that you grew up with sort of back to where it rightfully belonged.
Yeah, I don't know where my interest in bees came from. I grew up with a strange obsession with natural history, not just bees, butterflies, beetles, everything and anything. My parents were not interested in natural history, so I can't really explain it. I just think some people are somehow born with this kind of bug, if that's not too bad a pun.
We have been hearing about this issue for a few years, but you ultimately started major projects in 2006, founding the Bumblebee Conservation Trust. So this really has been an issue that has been in the works for a long time, in which we have become concerned about the bumblebee. When did your concern begin?
Well, so I started kind of studying bumblebees properly as a kind of university academic, I guess, about 20 years ago, and to start with, I was actually mostly focused on their behaviour, how they chose which flowers to visit, and things like that, kind of quite esoteric stuff. As I was kind of reading about them, I became aware that there were quite a lot of species that I never saw you could read about them in the older books, but they didn't seem to be anywhere that I could find anymore. And very little was known about them. So I started kind of hunting out the last strongholds of rare bumblebees and started to kind of try and study those because I realized that nobody knew anything about them. And it kind of led on from there. After a few years of studying these things and publishing papers in sort of scientific journals, it became quite frustrating because science is quite a kind of insular business. You know, I'd write a paper on bumblebees and publish it in a science journal, and another scientist or half a dozen scientists around the world who were interested in bumblebees would read it, and then they'd go away and write their own papers. But none of it was actually helping bees at all. You can publish all the work in the world and it won't actually change anything on the ground. So the idea of starting the Bumblebee Conservation Trust was kind of born out of frustration with the lack of any real initiatives or anything arising from all this scientific effort. It's really an attempt to do something, to make a difference, to get lots of people involved in conserving bumblebees, which is one of the nice things about bumblebees is that, anyone can help, essentially.
So give us a sense of the extent of the problem, of what we are facing right now.
Well, there are actually lots of species of bumblebee. Many people don't think there's just one.
Right.
Actually, 250 different types of bumblebee in the world or thereabouts. But they're disappearing, or some of them are disappearing. So many of, in the UK, three of our bumblebee species have gone from the UK. In North America, you've had some really rapid declines in the last 15 years. Some species that used to be really common have become very, very rare. The most recent global bumblebee extinction was actually in California. There was a pretty little thing called Franklin's bumblebee that used to be found in California and Oregon, and is now gone forever. You know, there's none left anywhere in the world. Some of them have done extremely badly. Others are a bit more robust and seem to be clinging on in there. But generally, the picture is pretty depressing.
Let's use one example. You write extensively about the short-haired bumblebee, and this is one that is prominent in the UK, or was. Give us a sense of using that as an example of what happened to the short-haired bumblebee.
Okay, so the short-haired bumblebee, it went extinct in the 1980s in Britain. Used to be found quite quite widespread in kind of southern England. And it was really the sort of the way the landscape changed in the 20th century. If you could rewind the clock 100 years, Britain was full of flowery hay meadows. We had about 7 million hectares, so what's that, about 15 million acres of flowery grassland in Britain. And it was really hit by the war, the Second World War, with Hitler on our doorstep kind of thing, and no easy imports of food to Britain. We had this big Dig for Victory campaign. We encouraged farmers to intensify the way they farmed to maximize food production as much as they possibly could, which made perfect sense in 1943 or something. But we carried on with those policies right up until the 1990s, and to some extent still do today. So we ripped out all the flowery meadows and we turned them all into wheat fields, and we ripped up all the hedgerows and we drained the marshes, and essentially we turned most of Britain into a monoculture of crops, which from a bee's perspective is pretty disastrous because there just aren't any flowers or very, very few flowers left in the countryside. And for slightly different reasons, farming elsewhere, as in North America, has broadly moved in the same direction. These days, you see these vast monocultures of wheat and barley, which are good, at least in the short term, for humans. You know, they provide us with bread and all the other, everything we eat. But they are terrible for wildlife, and I think that's pretty concerning, because obviously we do actually depend on things like bees, ultimately, to help provide us with our food.
I want to point out, the book is beautiful because it tells your story and it also talks about these issues. And you talk very much about the importance of the bumblebee. And what do we lose when a species like this goes away? In your mind, what do we lose? And ultimately, and I'll add to the question of what do we lose and how much are we a part of the problem?
Okay, so what do we lose? I mean, on one level, we lose a unique species that lived on this planet for millions of years, that has as much right to live here as we do, and we're driving it to extinction. As I say, Franklin's bumblebee is now gone forever. Nothing we can do to bring it back. But also, even if you don't give a stuff about wildlife, about conservation, you still stand to lose, and everybody should appreciate that the importance of bees, not just honeybees that people keep in boxes, but the other wild bees like bumblebees, because they pollinate so many of our crops. So roughly three quarters of all the different types of crop that are grown in the world require insects to pollinate them, mainly bees. And bumblebees in particular, for example, every tomato that you've probably ever eaten since about 1988 was almost certainly pollinated by a bumblebee specifically, rather than any other type of bee. Runner beans, raspberries, blueberries, cranberries, broad beans, all of those are pollinated mainly by bumblebees. And then if you look at all the other bee-pollinated crops, it's pretty much all the nice stuff that we eat, all the fruit and vegetables that make our diets pleasant, wouldn't be there if it weren't for bees. So we stand to lose enormously if we don't look after these things. You know, for thousands of years, they've been happily pollinating our crops, providing a kind of free service to us, if you like. You know, for the wild bees, we never bothered looking after them. They just came along and visited our flowers and gave us vegetables and fruit. These days, because they're slowly disappearing, we run the risk that they'll stop doing that. And if that happens, then, we will be much the poorer because of it.
Dave Goldson's new book is A Sting in the Tail, My Adventures with Bumblebees. It is published by Picador. Dave Goldson, thank you very much for spending time with us. A great pleasure.
That was my pleasure, too.
Best of luck in your efforts. Again, the title of the book, A Sting in the Tail, published by Picador. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.